Rodgers, who the only place he's going to take it to is the toilet bowl. And then you got Brett Favre, who will take it to the Super Bowl.
I do like me a triple butterburger with cheese. The works, you know, ketchup, mustard, pickles.
Could the package be really good? Yeah, I certainly would love that. But also, to say that, is this look like a rebuild? Probably.
If you think we're in a rebuild, then you got the wrong team.
QB1, man.
Come on, man.
Best QB in the league right now.
What's up, John Money?
He ran right in front of me. I'm like, huh?
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Janis.
And Janis does not stop it. Oh, please. What a cat. That's insane.
And you're listening to the Poor Man's Packers Podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the Roman Packers Podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joined this week with Billy and Todd, boys.
Hello, hello.
Greetings, gentlemen.
And, you know, last week we said we were balls deep in the offseason. This week we have gone deeper and deeper, and I'm a little sad for starters. We are everyone on this podcast is now older than everyone on the Green Bay Packers, so that's kind of a sad self-reflection moment there.
Happy belated birthday.
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, my birthday was last week. We recorded after my birthday. No, it was just hours before. It was released on my birthday, I guess. Whatever. Does not matter. Packers offseason kicking off, free agency. A lot of good, some bad. We're just going to rip through the moves here. You know, it's only been a week, but there enough happened where I think we might as well talk about it. So, kicking things off. I mean, God, what was
are
that?
Are you going to start from the beginning, or are you going to...
We're going to...
I mean, worth noting maybe that we just... The news just broke of A.J. Dillon's signing. And I think I speak for everybody on the pod. We're all very excited.
I don't think so, actually.
Well, I guess I think we are. I think I speak for the pod. We're all excited.
I think you don't at all.
That's
this is why you're not the host.
And that's the tough part about doing this is, you know, once again, we're getting older. You know, I'm 32 now. And I've talked to, you know, the former co-host of the podcast, Kyle, and I'm trying to talk Packers, and he just cannot get over how negative I am on a lot of these things where he thinks I'm only negative. I don't know if it's just me getting older. I'm more of a curmudgeon, a little more cynical.
Mm-hmm. Old man yells at cloud.
I think a lot of good things obviously have happened this offseason, but we'll jump right into it right now.
Spencer, you make a good point, because just today in the office, a couple of coworkers and I had a conversation about multiple examples of why I am an old man despite only being 34. So if the shoe fits, I guess I got to wear it.
Very fair. Well, something that happened at my work was, I thought it was good news. Someone said that the Bears had signed A.J. Dillon, which was false.
Oh, no.
Which we found out. So anyways,
thank God.
To actually talk about football, starting things off, I mean, I don't know if we talk about the signing of Josh Jacobs or I guess we should go in chronological order. Josh Jacobs,
yes.
You know, that pops up on Tuesday. Yeah, Tuesday, Monday, whatever day it was. That the Packers are going to sign Josh Jacobs to a four-year, $48 million contract, $12.5 million guaranteed, 12 per year. Everyone's very excited. You know, we had that 1 hour where we're like, holy shit, we're going to have a great backfield. But then very slowly, it was like, what is going on? And I, from the jump, I was like, I don't really like this. There was already the rumors about asking Aaron Jones to take a pay cut. And sure enough, that hour later, Aaron Jones is released. It was something that Tom Silverstein had reported a week or two earlier at the Combine that he said that if they can't come to some type of agreement, they would cut him and let him test free agency. So that obviously did happen. However, I think they're just because Tom had said it, maybe they'd cut him and try to re-sign him after he tests the market. That obviously did not happen, but the swap for Aaron Jones and for Josh Jacobs, to me, just seems like you're doing too much work to probably not improve your football team. The thing that gets me is Goody, you know, in his last press conference of the year or at the Combine, whatever it was, he said that Aaron Jones was the heart and soul of this team and that when asked if they were going to try to keep him, he said absolutely, which I suppose technically they did try to keep him. But to look at the numbers, so Aaron Jones already had a $10 million dead cap hit. That was money he was already owed that we pushed to the future. the contract that was offered to Aaron Jones, the pay cut, which would be his second year in a row taking a pay cut, was for $4 million with $2 million of an incentive, a possible $6 million, you know, bonus or total there. The Vikings ended up giving him $6 million and a $1 million incentive. So it's at best, you know, 6 versus 7, but at its roots there, 4 versus 6. So very clearly, the Packers were lowballing Aaron Jones a little bit there. But on top of that, to give Josh Jacobs, and the contract isn't terrible. You know, I'm not huge on signing running backs, especially running backs that aren't part of your team. But in his first year, he's getting $12.5 million, meaning the Packers wanted to give Aaron Jones at most $6 million. You know, that's the most they would pay him, but they gave Josh Jacobs $12.5 million, which... I don't know if Josh Jacobs is a better running back than Aaron Jones. I know he's younger. That's been talked about ad nauseum at this point. However, Josh Jacobs has like 150 more career carries than Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones has averaged more yards per carry every season outside of Josh Jacobs' rookie year. Even when Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing, Aaron Jones had a higher average. And then you're like, well, you know, Aaron Jones gets banged up. He misses a lot of games. Over the last 5 years, Aaron Jones has missed 10 games. Josh Jacobs has missed 10 games. Now, I know Josh Jacobs could probably carry more. Obviously, he has more carries than Aaron Jones. He could carry the load, be more of that, you know, bell cow for you. But again, I don't know if that's making this football team better. Something I'm an idiot. Something I would have done. I would have paid probably a lesser running back. Obviously, Derrick Henry is a name thrown out there too. I think he got, did he get like $8 million per, something like that?
Yep.
If you could have doubled those guys up and gotten that, you know, you pay the running back room a little bit more, I guess, but obviously you wouldn't have brought back AJ Dillon there. But to me, Aaron Jones is a complete difference maker. And Josh Jacobs coming off his season where he had 3.5 yards per carry. And, you know, there's all this talk about Aaron Jones, old, you know, he's older than him, all that shit. Josh Jacobs had 2 games last year. I believe this is right. I heard this, and I didn't check for myself. He had 2 games last year where he had 100 yards rushing. He obviously
accurate.
Missed a couple. Okay, cool. He obviously missed a couple games, too, like Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones finished the season with 5 consecutive 100-yard rushing games. So if the big positive of bringing Josh Jacobs in is his youth, I would argue Aaron Jones is just as youthful with his legs and playing more recently than Josh Jacobs. And we haven't even talked about the whole locker room thing with Aaron Jones, which, Goody, it's fine. I know, once again, the Disney shit, we get a little carried away with it. But in consecutive years, when like you move on from Davante Adams, whatever you think of Aaron Jones, Big Dog last year and shit like that, I just don't think the positives outweigh the negatives with signing Josh Jacobs to this contract. I talked a lot there, but Todd, what are your thoughts on this swap out here?
So I think initially, same as everybody, it was like a little bit of, I guess you could see the writing on the walls a little bit if you were looking. To me, it was like a little bit of a shock of like, ah, like, and like just like disappointment to see Aaron Jones be gone. makes a little bit of sense, obviously, after the signing. I feel like, I mean, you can see what the Packers are trying to do. They're getting younger at a position that doesn't have a long shelf life. Aaron Jones is an anomaly at almost 30 years old, you know, being as useful as he is at 30 years old, is he is an anomaly, and at some point the wheels will fall off. When will that be? We don't know. It could be next year. He could play for another 2 years, who knows, and be effective. I have no idea. Likewise, 26 is not young for any running back either. Typically, like, second, third contracts don't really happen for running backs, and they're not, they happen second contracts, not as successful typically as rookie contracts as we've seen as of late. Anyways, what I was looking at was like, they're trying to get younger. He's a different type of back. He is very explosive. He can catch fine. He's a pretty good pass catcher.
He is a pretty good pass catcher.
Yeah, he has some, I don't know, just watching a little bit of stuff on him in the last few days, like he does bobble some second double catch balls and stuff like that. Aaron Jones drops balls too. So I don't think he has like the route running skills that Aaron Jones has, so I think he's less effective in the passing game. But as an outlet, perfectly serviceable. He probably breaks more tackles than any other running back that I've really seen just in general. Like, so you got that going for you. He's kind of like a, he can do it all guy, right? Like he's explosive, he's strong, he's fast. Like he's got all the tools in his toolbox. Aaron Jones may be limited in a little bit of that, but still more dynamic, I would say, as an elusive runner. Just as players, I think that's my take. But then the team thing is what really doesn't make sense of having a guy who is kind of like the heart of the locker room. Like if all things seem kind of equal and the money's kind of equal, then having him leave, you know, he's got the rapport with the other, you know, the line and the quarterback, and he's a great pass blocker too. Josh Jacobs, I think a lot of people are questioning his pass blocking ability. So
correct.
I don't know. I think as a pure runner, I actually like him a little bit more just for that, but all the other intangibles don't seem to quite add up. And when the money's the same, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. I'm excited for him. I think he's going to be fun to watch. It's different. So I'm not saying it's completely going to be a bad thing. And he could have a year like 2022, right? I think you saw when he had, when he was healthy and he had the snaps, what did he do? Like 1800 yards. I mean, he was unreal that year. So it, he has the potential if he's healthy, but like to your point too, Spencer, he's not super durable either. And he's got, there's a lot of miles on those legs too. So I don't know. It's, I kind of understand what they're trying to do in getting younger. And Aaron Jones isn't going to be running like he did this year forever. And he's hurt half the time also. So I mean, I get it a little bit, but like with, when you compare it to Josh, it doesn't seem like it's a huge advantage. I don't know.
So here's where I'm at, Todd. You know, you talked about the breaking tackles, and I actually just have these stats pulled up on my other screen because I was doing a deep dive into stats when we get to another running back. Spoiler alert. So Josh Jacobs broke 10 tackles last year. Aaron Jones broke 6. But when you break that out to a broken or attempts, you know, carries per broken tackle, 23.3 for Josh Jacobs, 23.7 for Jones. So really it's negligible, the difference there. But you're right. He is really good through the passing game. To your point, I think he's used differently than Aaron Jones. We're not going to split out Josh Jacobs, I would imagine, and try and get a mismatch. And I mean, how many times did we split Jones out and motion him into the backfield and get a mismatch with somebody? So I don't know that that's going to happen. But what I come back to, and this is kind of what I have used to kind of convince myself that this is an okay move, is you think back to, you know, certainly the Ted Thompson era and the Goody era. How many times have the Packers let somebody go, a fan favorite that's looking for, you know, a third contract or greater, and it hasn't worked out? You know, if there's a team in the NFL that embodies it's a business more than anything, it's Green Bay, in my opinion. The Eagles, you know, kept bringing back Jason Kelce on, you know, one-year deals. They just brought back Fletcher Cox on a one-year deal. Harrison Smith keeps re-signing with the Vikings. He's no longer the player that he once was. He's still good, but, you know, I have to think if the Packers were in that situation, they let him go. But you look at Jordy, we let him go. We were all upset at the time. It ended up being the right move.
I would disagree with that. He got like 60 balls in Oakland, and Jordy was willing to come play for the Packers for $2 million.
But and, then after that, he was out of the league.
But we used that money to sign Jimmy Graham.
There's other examples though. To Billy's point,
you can look at Mike Daniels, T.J. Lang, Josh Sitton, Greg Jennings, Charles Woodson. I mean, Clay Matthews. The list goes on and on. There are guys that we have missed on, but it seems to me that those are more guys looking for their second contract, a Micah Hyde, a Casey Hayward. So
I would say we miss
when the option is cheaper. For instance, like Charles Woodson, he wasn't going to ask for a ton. We should have kept him around. But like things like this with Jordy and Aaron Jones, when you're not breaking the bank to keep even fucking Brett Goode. Like we still haven't found a long snapper since then. Now, if you have to pay up for someone, I totally get letting him walk. But when it was something like this, it's not going to hurt you to keep it. Like Ryan Bulaga, that would have been I would have kept Ryan Bulaga. That would have been a huge mistake. But Aaron Jones isn't going to hurt you like that. Sorry, keep going.
I also think part of it is the dead cap. I mean, we certainly had to do something. Like, does it make sense to try and renegotiate and push his, you know, dead cap further out onto the cap? Todd, you mentioned he's 29 years old. I mean, I don't know of a lot of running backs that are effective after their 30th birthday. Aaron Jones has missed games. And I mean, sure, he only technically missed a handful of games this year, but how many games was he fully healthy this year where he was out there and it was, you know, Aaron Jones? It was basically those five games that you mentioned, Spencer, at the end where he rushed for over 100 yards in each, and then the opener in Chicago. Seemed like every other game that he played, it was, that's not quite Aaron Jones. He doesn't have the burst. He doesn't have the shiftiness that makes him special.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way, like right now is the saddest I'll probably be about it. You know, I hope it's not like Josh Jacobs is a bad player or anything.
Right.
It's just once again, I don't think it was worth the moves to do this. What I really think ended up happening here is that Chargers game in November, where when Aaron Jones gets hurt, I think he got carted off, and we all thought we're like, damn, this might be the last game that we see Aaron Jones. Well, either way, I think that game is the reason why we don't have Aaron Jones anymore, because he does get banged up too much. And I think they do feel better about Josh Jacobs carrying a full load. It's just, I think there's a better way to supplement that. You know, we were so fucking hot this year in the playoffs. You know, do we think as high about, or think as highly of Jordan Love right now if we didn't have Aaron Jones back there with him for that final stretch of the year? You know, he was a huge credit. When Jordan Love was talking to Micah Parsons on the podcast, one of the most viral clips was Jordan Love talking about how Aaron Jones just had this natural innate ability to pass block. And he was doing things like out of structure that helped Jordan make plays that he shouldn't have been able to make. So shit like that, it's just, God, it's tough. For me, and we'll talk about the other backs and stuff, what will make the most sense to me is if in the second or third round, whatever, we end up taking that Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, who has that torn ACL. Now, see, because that, in that scenario, it makes sense to me to sign Josh Jacobs, because he can carry the load early in the season. Aaron Jones, I don't think you'd want him to carry the full load to start the season, to wait until this Brooks has to get healthy with his torn ACL. So that would make sense to me. Then it's a nice little, you know, after 2 years, maybe move on from Josh Jacobs and put in, you know, Brooks or whatever. But the thing for me is, the thing that they're saying with this deal, that it's team friendly, it's basically a 2-year deal. I think Aaron Jones playing for the Green Bay Packers would be more productive over those 2 years than Josh Jacobs will be. That's just what it comes down to for me. I don't know if we have anything else. I think we've talked quite a bit about this.
I do have one thing that I want to just get your guys' opinion on, is that, do you think that there's anything, you know, we always complained about the Aaron Jones snap count. There was never really like a real answer, like, is he on a snap count, is he not, other than maybe coming off an injury or whatever. But like, is that part of it? Is it Aaron Jones saying like, no, I'm not good to go, I need a break? Like, is there something behind the scenes that we don't know about? And it's like, Josh Jacobs can obviously handle the load, right? Like, there's no question there on the carries, right? Like, he has some injury stuff, but like, Aaron Jones was never getting the carries we all wanted. Was there something behind the scenes that it's like, he's on the sidelines going, I'm not really ready, or this isn't feeling good, and then like, he's not in there, and then you get those AJ Dillon drives when it's like, what are we doing? He just ran all the way down the field, and now we got AJ Dillon in there. Like, was that something that played into it? I'm just throwing that out there, just because it was weird that Aaron Jones was basically on a snap count for the last 4 years. I mean, it was like,
with how much it's come up, I'm sure if he had said anything to go against that narrative, we would have heard about it. But at the same time, I believe when he was on this 5-game stretch, that was the first time that he ever had back-to-back games where he rushed for over 100 yards. So there is something to that. And at the same time, I don't think Aaron Jones is upset right now with the production he's had in the league. Now, maybe when he's retired and shit, but he's got to have some pretty fresh legs for how old he is. And we did kind of talk about that a little bit, too. I don't know if you agree there, Billy.
I mean, it's true. You already said that he has fewer carries than Josh Jacobs at this point in his career, and Aaron Jones has played a year or two more, I think two. So there is something to it. However, I think back to that Chicago game, the first game of the year, where he had that 60-yard touchdown, whatever it was, and pulled up lame at the end.
Yep.
And I seem to recall in the post-game presser, he made a comment like, oh, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I could have gone back in, blah, blah, blah. The game was out of hand. And then it became evident in the very next game that, yeah, he's playing. But, you know, like I said before, it wasn't Aaron Jones. He wasn't effective.
I think he was out the next 4 weeks because he didn't play against the Falcons. I'm pretty sure.
Okay, that's what. But then even still, when he came back, he still wasn't the same. So
it was a weird middle part of the year because, yes, he had his snaps were limited. And even when he was out there, he didn't look, you know, great. And last thing to put a bow on this, once again, the lame shit. What sucks the most about it is this kind of hurt more than when we moved on from Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, I'm a Rodgers guy, yada, yada. I know a lot of people really fucking love him right now. But for Goody to put out, you know, to say what he said early on in the offseason, that he's the heart and soul of the team, absolutely want him back, it was such a surprise that it was tough to process all at once. With Rodgers, we processed that shit for fucking months. With Aaron Jones, it's like we had that peak high of Josh Jacobs, at least for some of us. I had a lot of doubts from the get-go. I'm like, I don't know what this means for Aaron Jones. And now, obviously, which we haven't even talked about, him signing with the Vikings, it really fucking sucks. I kind of wish he would have played for the Cowboys, because that would be funny with how well he's played there. And for him to be back with Mike McCarthy is pretty funny. Obviously, that didn't happen, but either way, just a total fucking bummer. I wonder how much of this is like Drew Rosenhaus and Goody just having a pissing match between each other, too. But sad day, bad day, continuing with that. A.J. Dillon is back. He signs a weird fucking contract that I don't think most of us were unaware of. It's a new thing with the latest CBA signed in 2021 with the players. Because it was called like a 4 year something. Basically, if you've played in the league for 4 years, you can get this contract after your first 4 years in the league. But it's basically a vet minimum deal, but they give him like, what is it, an extra $1 million in guarantees or whatever on the back end?
It's a 4 year qualifying contract is what it's called under the CBA, and is it 1.35 above vet minimum?
1.45 for the 24
for
season.
This. Okay. So 1.45 above vet minimum. And that's the max that he can get. So they can be less than that, and there can be basically no guaranteed money in there too.
But as far as we're concerned, that's irrelevant because his cap hit is all that matters, and it's just that 1.3 or whatever the fuck it is.
Right? I think 1.125. Silverstein, Silverstein said it was just over 1.1, so that's really not bad at all.
Which I obviously don't like AJ Dillon, the football player, that much. Yeah, off the field too. Some things that he does, he's a great business. In his 3-4 years now in the NFL, I would bet so much money that he has made more off his likeness and marketing than Aaron Jones has in his 7 years, you know, in the league. But signs this deal, and you knew the thing with A.J. Dillon, it was weird from the get-go, because even yesterday, Ian Rappaport puts out that tweet talking about A.J. Dillon, and usually it's these teams have interest. This was A.J. Dillon has interest in the Cowboys, the Giants, and the Colts. Which was weird phrasing, and I think that might have been something that he had his agent do, or the agent just did to kind of spur more of a market for him. I don't really want A.J. Dillon on this football team. I know he can be talented, but in a contract year when you run for 3.5 yards a carry, that's not very good. I guess that goes for Josh Jacobs as well. I would rather have Emmanuel Wilson or anyone else just about be our third running back, but again, it does make sense if they have a plan to bring in another guy. I saw a lot of people were saying, wow, this must mean that the Packers don't, you know, think very highly of this draft class coming in of running backs, which from the start people were saying isn't that good. It doesn't seem like it's as bad as people originally let on from. But with this contract, it sounds like there's next to no guaranteed money. He could get cut at the beginning of training camp, and even if his cap hit isn't that big, I think we're still very much primed to draft a running back fairly high for the Green Bay Packers when, you know, it still makes a lot of sense with how Goody builds these rosters too, and he doesn't have a lot of holes. But just having another body there, it kind of continues what he's done in the past. But Billy, do you want to go through how much you love AJ Dillon as well in the stats?
Yes. So Spencer, you make a really great point about being able to get out of this contract. And so let's revisit this in about 6 to 8 weeks after we've had the draft. If we don't draft a running back until the sixth round, then let's, you know, get our pitchforks out.
Yeah.
However, I still don't like the AJ Dillon signing. Okay, so I went into a deep dive. This is the deepest dive that I've done for a podcast all year. It may show. But A.J. Dillon, 178 carries, 613 yards. Both of those rank in the 33rd to 38th in the league, okay? What I did was I took the top 100 rushers in the NFL by yards last year. I cut out all the wide receivers and quarterbacks. That left 76 players. Because one of the arguments I see in favor of Dillon is that, oh, he's such a good backup running back. He's a really good backup. He's not a starter. He's a backup. And so what I thought was, well, these top 76, that represents every team's starter, every team's backup, and a couple of third stringers too for good measure. So I wanted to see where AJ Dillon ranks in that top, we'll call it 75. So middle tier in terms of yards and carries. Yards per attempt, 3.4, 69th in the league. Of the players below him in yards per carry, by far the most yards and carries, which tells me the teams below that knew that this guy did not deserve a lot of carries because he's not very good. He had one big run, which is a run of greater than 20 yards.
It was a really good run. I remember that one.
It was a 40-yarder.
Yeah,
but that also tells me, like, that's a complete anomaly, an outlier from the rest of the year. If he had four or five 20-yard runs and this one went for 40, okay, great. So there were 28 players with zero or one big runs. Only three did that on more carries than A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon had two rushing touchdowns, which tied for 41st in the league. Of all the players with two or fewer touchdowns, 36 of them, only two had more carries. A.J. Dillon had 32 first downs. Only one player had more carries than him with fewer first downs. He tied for 34th in the league in yards per carry, yards after contact, rather, per attempt, which is another argument for him is, oh, he's a big bruiser.
Mm-hmm.
The stats don't back that up. Broken tackles, he had five, tied for 46th. 35.6 attempts per broken tackle, tied for 63rd in the league. I don't care what people think because his nickname is Quadzilla, how big he is, whatever. He is not a physical back. He does not break tackles. He does not have big runs. He does not score touchdowns. He does not move the chains. I don't understand what the value of A.J. Dillon is on this football team.
Yep. Very good. I agree. Again, the only positive you really have is it's once again a contract year. He's a big body. He loves the area. He's going to be great for events at Lambeau. You know they're going to throw him out there for that.
That's the other thing I hate. Oh, he's the mayor of Door County. I don't give a shit if he's the mayor of Door County or if he's the governor of goddamn Wisconsin. I don't want him on the football team if he's not good.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, if he comes out and next year he's great, I will apologize.
Yes,
I don't see it happening as well. Todd, do you have, maybe, you know...
Yeah, I think I can fill in some of the blanks here.
Yeah, some optimism.
I think it's obvious what's happening here. This is an insurance plan. The Packers are going to draft a running back. Both Josh Jacobs and pretty much all rookie running backs don't know how to pass block. So he's going to come in, fill the role of pass blocking. He can run the ball. The offensive line was not amazing last year, and the 3.4 yards per carry is not good, but in the past, he's had a better yards per attempt, you know, so everybody has down years and up years.
It's gone down every single year of his career.
So, and the line is less of a run blocking line than it was before, and he's slow. So you have to give him a little bit of a leeway there. But no, I mean, he can catch the ball. I think mid-season, you know, his carries are pretty much nothing. He's not on the field very much as long as, you know, whoever the rookie running back is can fill in on the pass protection stuff. But it typically does take half a season for those rookie running backs to really be comfortable pass blocking. And the most important position on this team, especially as of the last 10 weeks of the season, is the quarterback. And we need to keep the quarterback safe. A.J. Dillon can pass block better than Josh Jacobs, better than whoever the rookie is that we're going to pick up. That's his role. He needs a fill in. You know, he's going to be out there for third downs. He's going to get some carries, right? You can't put him out there and not hand him the ball, not throw him the ball every once in a while. So it's going to happen. And yeah, it's not the most ideal thing in the world. Are there better guys that you could have run and catch the ball? Of course. But this is about the cheapest option you could possibly imagine against the cap for a team that needs, you know, we need as much cap as we can get to spend a little money. It just makes sense, I think, from a contract perspective. He knows the offense. You're going to have two guys that are coming in that don't know the offense. You know, I'm assuming we're going to draft a running back. If we don't draft a running back, I think I'll be a little bit more disappointed. But I'm assuming this move means this is an insurance plan. This is to fill in the gaps from week one to week nine. After that, it gets everybody else up and running. You know, that's what I think this is.
Yep. Yeah, I agree too. If he's the third back, I'm fine with it. If he's the number two, I'm going to be quite upset.
Honestly, I'm not even happy with him as a third back, because as the third back, I envision it more like last year, where it was Emmanuel Wilson or Patrick Taylor, a young guy that we throw in spurts and see what he can do. I don't want to put A.J. Dillon as a third running back because I already know exactly what he offers.
Right. I don't think the ceiling is very high on him.
If he's the second running back, it's even worse. So what am I supposed to feel good about?
Agreed.
Pass protection.
Yeah, that's literally, he's cheap. And
he knows the offense, and he can pass block.
But then you can make that argument for Patrick Taylor, too. You know, like, I don't really think there's a big difference there.
We're recording this on March 14th. Okay, Josh Jacobs officially signed his deal today. Get him into the offense, OTAs, mini camp, training camp. He's going to know the offense. He's going to be up to speed. He'll be able to step in, no problem.
He's just not a great pass blocker.
Right. And you know what? With that, we will have a quick commercial break. All right, and we are back with... God, I thought it was like a game.
With the defense.
I'm right, because, you know, Xavier McKinney... Positive things. Back to, hey, you know, this is a fun podcast. Xavier McKinney, the former Giants safety. He's young as shit. He's like 24 years old, right? 4 years.
He'll be 25 when the season starts, but yeah.
So my statement was correct.
I don't know. Maybe he's 25 now.
Okay. Fair point. Signed a 4-year, $63 million contract, $23 million guaranteed. I believe he's a top five paid safety now, which is kind of a record for someone who hasn't made a Pro Bowl. Was a second round pick for them 4 years ago. Kind of a weird thing too. So there's been some talks, like, you know, there's some apprehension when you get a player like this from free agency, because if they are good, why didn't that team keep them around? But when it's a team like the Giants, I'm like, you can throw that out, especially when this time last year they gave fucking Daniel Jones that contract. I don't know if they're really great at putting together a roster, and obviously the way things went last year wasn't great for them. But,
well, and if he's a top five paid safety now, did he price himself out of New York? I don't have any idea what their cap situation is. Did they feel that he would command more in the open market than they can pay?
But that's the thing. Even if you, either way, they were wrong, because if what had happened with them, you give him like that transition tag, and you pay him like top five money, and then you trade him away. Like, there's a pretty easy way to do this, but they didn't even decide to do that, which was a little weird. But in Jeff Hafley's introductory press conference, he talked a lot about the safety position. Obviously, we talked about the single high safety in his defense, all that, but he talked about what he's looking at from that position, and as people have talked about, how he's pretty much described a perfect safety, someone who can do a little bit of everything. And as far as between the draft and the free agency, McKinney's pretty much that guy, pretty close to it. He's rangy. He's a true free safety. You know, you just put him out there by himself, which I think does make it seem like that we could potentially still take a safety in the draft, too. You know, one Tyler Newbern is more of a box safety himself. But either way, I was surprised when this news popped up. You know, pretty happy with this. Kind of weird to see, too. And we talked a bit how I thought we were going to be more players in free agency. I mean, I talked about the running back position last week quite a bit. I kind of want to pat myself on the back for that because I figured we were going to make a move. I still didn't like what we did. But Xavier McKinney, big splash in the secondary. I really do think this helps that defense out a ton. Someone who can kind of fill in the cracks in the secondary when we haven't had a legit safety back there since... I mean, God, who was the last real decent guy? I mean,
Adrian Amos?
Amos was fine, but I guess we haven't had a game changer since Charles Woodson and
Nick Collins.
Nick Collins before that. So very happy with that. I don't think there's a ton of holes in the defense now, but early impressions on Mr. McKinney there. Todd, you like it?
I mean, I love it. I did not think that we would make this splash, to be honest. I thought we would fill this through the draft and then maybe pick up a free agent or something like that, you know, post-draft. But I think this is super fun. He moved around a lot when he was in New York. They use him for different things, which is great also. But when he was back playing free safety, he was PFF's highest rated safety in the league since he's been in the league. So for his time in the league, he was ranked 90. He had a 92 rating, which is higher than any other safety since he's been in the league, which is impressive, right?
Darnell Savage's last year in that same time, 65. So it just shows you what that improvement is.
So it'll be interesting, too, because it sounds very much like in Halfley's system, with that post safety, a safety that ranges, you know, basically takes the whole middle of the field, right? That's what a post safety is supposed to do. Having this safety opens up a lot of things, it would seem, in his defense and allows him to do what he wants, bringing that other safety down into the box, you know, playing that deep zone, if you will, you know, in the middle of the linebackers. Yeah. So I think it's great for Halfley, and it'll allow him to actually play his defense earlier rather than having to develop it over time with young guys, which is going to be really exciting to see, because transitioning from a 3-4 to a 4-3, especially in kind of what he's going to do, I think the secondary is going to be quite a bit different, their roles and whatnot. So this will be interesting. Super fun, rangy. He's got ball skills. He's going to be fun to watch.
I'm going to be honest, when Xavier McKinney, when it was announced that the Giants weren't going to re-sign him or tag him or any of that, and, you know, all the Packer fans were like, oh, this might be somebody that we have some interest in. I admit, I literally never heard the man's name before in my life. Didn't know anything about him. Then, you know, some little pieces start to trickle in, right? Like, we have a defensive assistant that coached him in college, I think, Spencer.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
The D-backs coach.
Ansley, the D-backs coach, was funny because in that interview, they're like, hey, your D-backs coach is in Green Bay. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I haven't talked to him in a while, but hey, and it was enough that got him signed.
It worked out.
Well, he had to say he hasn't talked to him in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You can't say. I've talked to him over the last 2 years, but not over the last month. Yeah.
Yes.
But then, you know, my friend Jen today told me that he was at Alabama at the same time as Josh Jacobs. So did one help lead the other one here? I don't know. Certainly helps.
Good point. Didn't think of that.
The Packers would never tamper.
The one stat that hooked me on Xavier McKinney, knowing nothing else about him, missed tackle rate last year, 5.7% for Xavier McKinney. Darnell Savage, 17.4%. This dude can play coverage, and he's going to come up. Not only is he a willing tackler, he is an able tackler. So therefore, I'm all in.
I think he was one of the better defensive backs in the league, too, at 5% missed tackle rate.
And something to bring up, too, which you kind of alluded to, Todd, is he can play in the slot as well. He did do that a bit. He does have a bit of that versatility, so... I don't know, I'm really excited. And something else that we didn't touch on, which we kind of mentioned with Aaron Jones, but these two guys seem to be pretty decent dudes too.
I think this might be weird. I think Josh Jacobs has like 9 kids or something. I don't know if that's true or not. But he was a captain for the Raiders. Antonio Pierce wanted him back. Everyone on the Raiders really liked him. I know Max Crosby put out like a heartfelt tweet too. I think last year, wasn't Josh Jacobs going through the contract stuff and they like tweeted because like Max Crosby was at the facility and Josh Jacobs was in his car and they were like waiting to see if the Raiders wanted him to come in to sign whatever, like his franchise tag or something. I don't know. Either way, good guy. Xavier McKinney, too, seems like a smart enough guy. He keeps what I love hearing from him, and it's, you know, it's bullshit, but these guys don't have to say it, is how he's just getting started and how he just wants to keep getting better. In the interviews and his tweets, he's saying that dumb shit. But both of them also were team captains last year. So we've lost a little bit of leadership with Aaron Jones and I think some of the other veterans over the last 2 years, but it seems like these are some good locker room guys that we're bringing in either way. So I'm pretty happy with that. Moving on to guys we released. Some sad stuff, but once again, kind of like the Aaron Rodgers thing that I mentioned earlier. David Bakhtiari released. God, just such a bummer. I don't know how much we want to talk about it. I'm very curious to see where he ends up, because apparently he's still going through, like, his rehab is pretty strenuous, and he couldn't play right now. I kind of assumed whatever that surgery was that he was getting done early in the season that he, I think, probably could have played through. Maybe wasn't major, but God, maybe it was a little bit more than
we might have been wrong about our take early in the year about him refusing to play on turf and all that. But
I still don't think it's refusing to play on turf. I think he could have played on that knee because he did the previous year. He could have played through it. However, if he waited until after the season to get surgery, it probably would have cut into his playing time this year, which would have made him a lot less attractive of a free agent. So it does that. That's what I think is what happened there.
Have you seen any rumblings on him at all? I haven't seen anything.
I don't think we'll hear much until much later down the line, because I don't think a team's going to want to touch him until they can pass a physical, which it doesn't seem like he could do right now.
So maybe like around the time training camp kicks off in July.
That would be my guess, yes. And I mean, I don't know what the Jets cap situation is, and everyone's saying that. I see they made a couple moves on the offensive line, but I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, God, and not to dig on Dave again, but he got paid a lot of money to not play football the last couple of years. Maybe he would take a discount to play with his buddy Aaron if he decides to play football next year. We also released Devondre Campbell. I don't know how much we want to talk about that, and I'll just throw out there too that Darnell Savage signed with the Jags, Jonathan Owens with the Bears, and John Runyon Jr. with the Giants, getting a $10 million per year contract, which is pretty. The guard market,
good for John.
I mean, offensive linemen usually get paid pretty fat if they get to that second deal, but to be a guy who was splitting time last year to get $10 million per, and he did have a neck injury. We'll see if that was more, if that, you know, was causing his decline in play more or not, you know. But either way, happy for him. He was always a good locker room guy. We re-signed Tyler Davis, Corey Ballantyne, Christian Welch, the special teamer, linebacker. I thought that was a little interesting because between those kind of tweener linebacker guys, you would have thought, I would have signed Eric Wilson first.
Yeah, I feel like the same thing.
But
we still could.
Very well still could. I guess I was just surprised. I mean, they're all going to be like pretty close to vet minimum deals anyways, but we'll see what happens there. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on any of those, you know, kind of assumed roster moves that we made?
I think in general, like, it was, we all knew the Dave cut was coming. And it freed up a lot of money for us, which was the right move. And it's just a bummer to see Dave go. I mean, for sure 3 years he was the best left tackle in the league. Oh, you could argue even five more
than that, probably, yeah.
You know, like, but I think unanimously people would say for 3 years he was the dude at left tackle, and he was amazing.
I mean, he probably rated it as like a top tackle this year because of the one game he played in. You know,
I mean, when he
was against Chicago.
Yeah, well, they had a couple pass rushers, didn't they? Yeah, whatever.
When he was on the field, though, he's good, right? Like, every single time he stepped on the field, injury or no injury,
hard agree,
he was good. So that was, I mean, thanks to Dave. I mean, he was awesome. a personality also.
Right.
Tough to see somebody like that go to an injury, right? Like, that's just too bad, right? So hopefully, I think we all hope he gets back to playing and he gets better. Yeah, gets Bach. And then, yeah, some of those other guys, like, good for John Runyon Jr. to get paid $30 million on that contract. Like, that is impressive, like you said, for a guy who's playing time. So good for him. There's no way we would have paid that money for him. So, and then
I'd feel better about Darnell getting paid halfway decent, too, if we didn't give him $9 million last year to play part-time or whatever it ended up being. And Jonathan Owens, I think his contract looked worse off the cut. It sounds like it's a little bit better than a vet minimum deal, but there's like some incentives or shit in there. So
I was almost wondering with the Darnell thing, with getting the post safety, if we wouldn't have, like, just for that little bit of time before Darnell signed, if we were going to re-sign Darnell just to play as the box safety role, because he's athletic, he plays so much better in the box than he does, you know. Playing deep was not his thing. He just was not good in coverage. He was not good defending a deep half. But playing in the box is where he really succeeded, and kind of like where Pettine wanted to use him prior, maybe Halfley would have used him in a similar type role. But obviously that didn't happen. So
Tom Silverstein did say yesterday that the Packers did have some interest in Darnell Savage, but with Halfley, they did view him as a slot nickel guy rather than a true safety. So
gotcha. Okay, so that's probably what it was then, that he went on to do real safety stuff.
Speaking of that position too, something I went over there before you chime in there, Billy. We did re-sign Keyshawn Nixon. 3 years, $18 million, and off the get, because obviously I had the same reaction to, I believe last year he got like $3 million for the 1 year, $4 million, whatever it was. And now, obviously, if you do some math, let's see, 318. Yeah, that is $6 million per year. It seems a little steep. And that's why I kind of thought the Josh Jacobs deal was going to be good. It's not as good as I originally thought, just because it took hours until that contract detail was released. And usually those agents want that out there as soon as possible. So the fact that there was some hesitation with that, I was like, shit, maybe it's a good deal. Keyshawn Nixon, the 3 for $18 million. I assume there's a lot of incentives in this. Last year, I believe he had a few for like Pro Bowl, All Pro for his kick return yardage. And I don't know if it passed, but there was the talks of changing the kick return, which would mean more kick returns. It's something like you don't move until the returner touches the ball. And if you kick it out of the, or you kick it in the end zone, it's like a touch. It's like you kicked it out of bounds, so you get it like the 35 or 40. Or I don't remember exactly what the rules were. But either
that
way,
would be intense.
It does incentivize kick returns a little bit. So I guess I'm fine with it. I don't love him playing defense, but we'll see what the final contract details are. I like having him as our returner.
He did have 80 tackles, which is not nothing.
He's a willing tackler.
He's a very willing tackler. And so maybe there is a spot for him in the defense, at least in the short term, to play the slot and play close to the ball, because, I mean, even tackling running backs, he's effective. So he is, like you said, a willing tackler. And I believe maybe, I can't remember if the stat is true, so don't quote me on it. The only back-to-back all-pro kick returner ever. I believe that's the stat. The reason I remember that stat is because I thought Devin Hester, and then I thought, who was the dude from the Browns? Cribs? I was like, Josh Cribs ever did it? And I looked it up.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that stat is right. So, semantics. For what it's worth, I mean, he's a very good returner.
All-pro returner doesn't mean a whole lot in today's NFL.
It means less, for sure.
And
yes.
It's hard for me to sign a guy with the expectation that he's going to be an effective returner, just in case they change the kickoff return rules in May or whatever it is. Like,
Mark Murphy has his pulse on what the NFL is doing. Come on now.
I think he's serviceable as a slot. I don't think he's not horrible, and he can play in the run, and you need guys that can do that.
I think he's okay in the slot. I just don't know that I like him at 3 years, $18 million. If it was 1 year, maybe two, sure, I can get on board with that.
It is a lot of money.
I'd be willing to bet it is essentially a 1 year deal, but you know, they usually make those types of contracts pretty easy to get out of.
The other thing that I wanted to go back to before we move on is, you know, David Bakhtiari, in my mind, is just one of those, just another one of those what ifs in Packers history. If you think about guys that were off to such, you know, great starts in their career, you know, all pro level, potential Hall of Famer. I mean, Bakhtiari, I go back to Nick Collins. You know, Rodgers has spoken very highly of both of those guys. You go back even further, you know, how about Sterling Sharp in the late 80s, early 90s? I mean, over Sterling Sharp's career, for, you know, most productive wide receivers in the NFL, it was him and Jerry Rice, and it was not close. Obviously, Sterling Sharp did not have the longevity Jerry Rice did, but, I mean, if Sterling Sharp was able to keep that up, like, he wins a Super Bowl ring with us. He's certainly in Canton at this point. So it's just another disappointing what if. It sucks. It sucks, too, just from a Packers cap management standpoint that we signed Bakhtiari to this deal, like, the offseason before he tore his knee up. And it seems like we've been trying to get out from under it ever since.
Sadly, probably one of the worst contracts in NFL history, which is not Dave's fault. Thing I'm going to touch on there, Billy, which I thought you were going to lead with, the what if for this is 2020. Like, Dave is one thing in his career. True. I think we would have at least gone to one Super Bowl, at least in 2020 or 2021 with Dave. But on top of that, something I'd say, you're comparing him to Nick Collins and stuff. People are saying he's not going to be Hall of Fame. I still think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, especially later on. I don't think...
He's a five-time All-Pro?
Yeah, I think he's a five-time All-Pro.
How many left tackles have done that? I mean, Joe Thomas,
right.
Jonathan Ogden.
And he has that following and that name recognition, too. So if he can be somewhat healthy...
69.
Yeah. If he can be somewhat healthy for a different team and compete... I think he'll for sure make the Hall of Fame in that, you know, obviously playing with Aaron Rodgers.
I mean, Tony Boselli just got in and he played 8 years or whatever for the Jags at left tackle. I mean, Bakhtiari's done that and he has five All Pros. I mean, I'm not saying he's first ballot, but he's going to get some consideration.
Yeah, I hope he'll make it, but very curious to see where his career ends up here. And then again, last thing I'll touch on, I know we mentioned him, Tyler Davis, again, I was wondering if we were going to bring him back. He led the team in special team snaps in 2022, so that's obviously where he's going to, you know, be playing most of the snaps, especially with Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave out there. Ben Sims probably sticking on again. But I'm very happy with that. I am hoping. I'm going to reach out, and I hope we can get him on the podcast. Because I want to talk to him just because I was at that fucking Bears game when he was holding up the signs on the sideline. And I'm like, what's the story? Like, He went up to Matt LaFleur and was like, what can I do to help on game day? And Matt was like, well, you could hold this shit. I bet that's how it went. Whatever. Either way, good team guy. Again, we lost some locker room guys. We can at least keep Tyler Davis around.
And we need all the help we can get on special teams.
Yes. Yes. Coaching staff changes. Again, we kind of talked about this before, but they were officially released. The two things that I found interesting. And now back to, you know, I know last couple of years, I was bitching about Jason Vrabel, the wide receiver coach, halfway through the year. Again, it looked like a fucking genius. Second half of the year, it's like, wow, Spencer's an absolute idiot. Look at how great these rookies and young receivers are playing, blah, blah, blah. Weird move. I'm very curious to hear Matt talk about this. So last year, Jason Vrabel was the wide receiver coach and the passing game coordinator. Now, he is only the passing game coordinator. We promoted Ryan Mahaffey, who was the assistant offensive line coach. So he's now the wide receiver coach. That'll be very interesting. Like I said, I'm very curious to hear how Matt's going to walk through that. I'm sure he's going to say he just wants Vrabel to focus on the game plan and all that shit. A couple times he did say like a couple of those trick plays, or like it might have been that like double fake over to Musgrave in the middle for his first touchdown, which was a Jason Vrabel. I forgot. It was one of those fun plays Jason Vrabel came up with. Either way, I think that's interesting. And mentioned this before, you're going to bring it up again. I don't know if anyone else cares besides me. So Sean Mannion is the assistant QB coach. Tom Clemens is the QB coach. And Connor Lewis is still the assistant QB coach. So we have two assistant QB coaches for it's probably going to end up being... We're going to have as many QB coaches as we're going to have QBs on the like
one per
on like the 90 man roster, because I'm sure we'll have two on the 53 and one on the practice squad. It's just, I assume this is going to be Tom Clemens' last year as the QB coach, and then next year Sean Mannion will be the guy, and maybe something happens with Connor Lewis. But I thought that was interesting.
I mean, hey, I don't have kids, but Todd, I understand that you do. I mean, isn't one of the things they tout in elementary school is student to teacher ratio? Like, we have a 1-to-1 ratio in the quarterback room. It doesn't get any better than that, right?
That's what you want. And then you bunk them together at training camp, right? So then they don't get roommates. They just get a QB coach in there with them all the time.
Let's just do triple bunks on both sides. We can have the coaches on one side, the QBs on the other.
God, Matt'll be in there too, obviously.
If right, only,
yeah.
If only they were still in St. Norbert. I think that's one of the Packer traditions that we lost due to COVID, is they no longer go to St. Norbert, the college near Green Bay. Other than that, well, do we want to? We actually went pretty long for just some filler stuff.
Draft, maybe? Is that what you're doing?
No. Do you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, or do you want to talk about the NFC North first?
Ooh, let's talk about. Let's get Aaron Rodgers out of the way.
Good. Okay. Good thing. Yes. So Aaron Rodgers, we'll just touch on this. Man, it is just still a Rodgers guy, but God, what an interesting person he is. So obviously it came out earlier this week that he is potentially going to be the vice president. Or is
you can't
it,
even say it with a straight face.
Is it RFK? It's
RFK,
RFK Jr.
Robert?
Yeah, it's Robert
Kennedy.
Is it Robert Kennedy Jr., whatever.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr., RFK's son, who had been assassinated in the late 60s, 70s, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Guy with the weird voice, independent party, blah, blah, blah. So that's going on, which is one thing. There's the Sandy Hook stuff, and he put out a tweet today saying, you know, kind of trying to clarify some things. I still think he might think, I mean, he's a big conspiracy guy, whatever. We've all got weird uncles. We don't hate our weird uncles. Let's not hate our weird uncles, especially when they bring you to a Super Bowl. But I don't want to get political here, but do you guys have any thoughts on this stuff? It's obviously pretty crazy, but at the same time, it's odd that we're in a world where saying that your favorite quarterback of all time is running for, could potentially be a vice president nominee, and it's not surprising to hear the news when he's still active in the fucking league. So, Todd, what were your thoughts on this?
This is, when I heard all of this, just, and like, there's been other things too where he said, eliminate the distractions.
Yes.
And then now he's running for vice president. I'm just like, the idea, I don't miss it at all. That's like, I loved Aaron Rodgers more than most people, probably, even on his way out. I was very thankful for him. He was my QB growing up. This part of Aaron Rodgers, I'm just so happy is gone. Like, this part. And, like, who knows what he says? We have no idea what he's saying, right? Like, we don't know. But the media, regardless of what he says or doesn't say, will explode every offseason. And I am so glad we don't have to be a part of it. Like, just talking about it right here is too much. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just so happy he's not on our team right now, right? Like, from September to February, great guy to have on your team. From February to September, not a great guy to have on your team.
The phrase that I've seen a couple of times over the last several days after that news, if you can call it that, came out is, not my monkey, not my circus. It's the perfect analogy. It's like, he can do whatever the hell he wants. He's not my problem. I don't have to care about it anymore. And when it first, you know, came out, when I first heard it, my thought was, this is just like, you know, there's that story, that Packers legend from the late 60s that Richard Nixon briefly considered Vince Lombardi as a vice presidential running mate. And then I just imagine the conversation with Nixon, like, excuse me, he's a staunch Democrat, sir. Oh, crap. Okay, never mind. I don't want him at all. You know, I thought that would be like the end of it. Like, oh, yeah, somebody in a bar room threw out the idea of Rodgers being RFK's running mate. And then all of a sudden the media just like gives this story more legs than it ever deserved. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous.
And the thing that upsets me, and this is, they're talking about it too much. Rodgers says a lot of dumb stuff. And people are like, he's saying dumb stuff. He's spreading misinformation. Sure, I'm sure a lot of it is. He's said a lot of really dumb things. Why do you keep talking about it? Why do you keep making it like the number one, you know, a top news item every day is, how can we let this guy speak? How can we let him spread this information? It's like, you're doing it right now.
You're spreading his misinformation.
If you know it's misinformation, stop talking about it.
Right. Which we're doing now as well, or whatever, but it's just, I don't know.
No, we're just providing commentary on the state of media in America.
Yeah, true. The state of everything in America right now, too. The other thing, I mentioned that he tweeted, he loves attention. That's the thing more than anything with this. I don't think he's going to run for vice president or whatever.
No, you don't say.
But he obviously, I know this is a shocker, loves the attention. And the fact that he put out a statement about the Sandy Hook thing today on Twitter, but did not talk about the VP thing. It's like, let's keep talking about me with that. Like a very obvious, he could have sent out a fucking, you know, I don't know, one tweet to clarify that. Didn't want that. Did not want that. Of course, it's Aaron Rodgers. Still well, love him. And, we'll see what happens. But
if he really wanted to shoot it down, he could go on his buddy McAfee's show, like, you know, on call tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going on McAfee and shooting this down right now. But
I wonder if McAfee wants him back, though, because even McAfee, when it was the last one, I don't know if you guys watched that, he was like, oh, like, it's over. Like, we don't have to deal with all the circus that comes with Aaron Rodgers, because that is the problem. Is it's like, he brings a circus, whether it's his fault or not.
Yes.
It's a little bit his fault, but like, but he just brings a circus. He's like polarizing and people can't stop talking about him. They just have to. And so it's like, it's got to be exhausting for McAfee, anybody. Like, somebody would obviously take him and put him on, right? Like, and maybe McAfee would, but like...
We would.
Oh, Aaron, if you want to come on, we will happily.
Yeah, and when you have Pat McAfee's little cronies, like, not speaking up or, like, giving him head nods, like, agreeing, that's when you know the shit that he's saying is just a little far-fetched, but whatever. Still love Aaron. We'll see what happens. And the thing is... Do I say this? He's dumb, or he's, I don't think he's dumb. He's a weirdo.
He's weird.
He thinks
he's smarter than everybody else.
But I don't think he's dumb.
He still might be better than the two guys that are probably going to end up running for. That's probably a terrible statement to say. But they're all garbage.
The people that are going to run for president.
Yeah.
I would take Aaron Rodgers every day. Yeah.
We won't name them. We won't talk politics on this podcast. Moving on, NFC North update. I don't think there's a lot to talk about with the Lions, but the Vikings and the Bears, we can go over this quickly. One, breaking news, actually, during the podcast, the Bears traded for Keenan Allen for a fourth-round pick. I don't like all the moves that the Bears make, but the trades they've done are pretty good. Last year, getting that full haul along with DJ Moore seemed like a pretty nice trade.
Montez Sweat. That worked out for him.
Yeah,
it worked out so much better than we thought it would have, too. Right, Montez Sweat seemed
dummies. Head
scratcher.
Yeah, because everyone liked young.
But so are the Bears.
Yes, everyone liked young better. You know, because he was a first round pick and all of that. But he's flamed out, and Sweat's a pretty good player for him. The Bears also, I don't like their signings. You know, they signed DeAndre Swift, who's not great. We'll see what happens there. Justin Fields obviously has been traded. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen. I'm glad the NFL kind of knows that shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be moving. Like, when they were talking a second round pick for him, it's like, why the fuck would you do that? I don't even think he's a good guy to just have in your QB room. Like, I don't think he's a good guy to keep in Chicago either to help coach up a rookie that they're going to take. And then obviously on top of that too, the Vikings lose Kirk Cousins. Sign Sam Darnold, sign Aaron Jones, a couple edge guys as well, lose Danielle Hunter. But with the Vikings, biggest thing for me, and a lot of Viking fans are fine with what's going on, I don't know what the fuck Kwesi's plan has been. If you're going to do a rebuild, you weren't going to compete for a Super Bowl last year or the year before. Why didn't you make a move for a quarterback sooner than this? I feel like the last 2 years have just been a waste of everyone's time. So I hope Kwesi sticks around forever for the Vikings. But what did you guys think of the moves of our opponents in the NFC North here.
I think it's pretty obvious that the Vikings are entering rebuild mode kind of with full force. So that'll be interesting to see how long that takes them to kind of get back into the game. Their defense hasn't been very good the past few years anyway, and that was kind of their thing for a while. So we'll see. Justin Jefferson, unfortunately, is going to have nobody to throw him the ball. So that'll be...
Fortunately or unfortunately, who are we talking about?
It's just too bad to see a guy like that be on a team that has no one. They're just like, whatever. Like, yeah, bring in Darnold. You know, it's just like, I don't know. Well, did I say?
Yeah, Darnold. Anyways. No, you're good.
Yeah,
Darnold. Kwesi said today, too, and not like he would admit it, but he said they don't have to draft a quarterback. Sam Darnold is the worst type of signing. Because he's not an old vet that can help out the room.
Right.
He's never been successful. And I don't think he really has that type of potential to still be a decent... You know, Baker at least had some success with the Browns before he popped off again this year. I love it. I love it. I hope Kwesi sticks around forever.
It doesn't make really any sense to your point, right?
None.
Like, it just is like, what are they doing? I don't...
I mean, so look. So the guy was drafted...
Oh, they cut Dean Lowry too, by the way.
Oh, mean Dean. weird that didn't work.
So Darnold, drafted highly in the first round by the Jets, flames out. You know, every highly drafted quarterback by the Jets flames out. Gets picked up by the Panthers, flames out there, goes to San Francisco for a year, backs up Brock Purdy, and now all of a sudden, like, his image is restored and he's some bridge quarterback. What changed?
Well, only to the Vikings. Nobody else was
Well, but that's it. Like, and I mean, again, the
$10 million
NFL media,
makes it seem like other teams were interested. So that is,
well,
that is a fair point.
That's it. Like, NFL media hyped him up as some bridge quarterback, like, you know, coming in to take over for the Bears or the Vikings or whoever while they get a rookie ready. And it's just, it doesn't make sense. It's like a few years ago when, you know, anybody that ever shook Sean McVay's hand was getting a head coaching interview. It's like all of a sudden anybody that's ever been in Kyle Shanahan's system is now all of a sudden a viable quarterback. I mean, Trey Lance is, he got traded to the Cowboys for what? A third round pick? I mean, I don't see it. I don't understand.
We love Trey. We all love Trey. So let's not be rude.
Don't speak for me again.
Trey is Todd's cousin. We can't forget that. Who was the guy with the long neck who the Bears signed at quarterback?
Glennon.
I was thinking Gannon. I'm like, it's not Rich Gannon. Glennon. No. That was a terrible.
He had a normal neck.
Yeah. That's what this reminds me of is Glennon when he got that big deal from the Bears. It was like $40 million or $30-something million dollars for like 2 or 3 years.
You know what it probably was? Kwesi is an analytics guy, right?
Yes.
He probably looked at contract numbers. He's like, you know what? QBs that make over $10 million perform better than QBs that make less than $10 million. Let's give him $10 million. That's what it was. He's an analytics guy. He's looking at the numbers.
That's the thing. I need to find a clip from a presser last year. I don't remember exactly when it was, but he, into a mic, said that he was asked about like a full-fledged rebuild versus a like half-assed one that they did, and he was like, well, yeah, we could have done a full-on rebuild, but... You know, I did the mathematical equation for what was like best for the team and like doing the half. It was something he said something along those lines.
How do you shapeshift while still winning? And ultimately, that's a little riskier than tearing everything down and being bad for a while and coming back up. I know that, right? I can tell you the mathematical probability of doing it that way. And certainly that's a way that other teams may have chosen, but we didn't. That's not how we were trying to do it.
And that is like, you know, I have my own little, you know, issues that I have with Goody. Obviously, his drafts the last 2 years, sticking with Jordan Love, that's all that fucking matters. But he would never say something as fucking stupid as that into a microphone. So I will take that.
Do you
that.
Think Mark okay, Murphy so like, might, though?
Yeah,
that's very true. Teams have, like, an identity. Like, the Bears, typically a good defense, and they cannot field a quarterback for their life, no matter how hard they try. I think the Vikings' identity is, like, in the front office, everybody there thinks they're smarter than they really are. Like, you go back and you look at like Brad Childress benching Adrian Peterson and having Christian Ponder chuck the ball around. And then
they traded for Randy Moss and then traded him or cut him like a month later.
Rick, what are you guys doing?
Rick Spielman, their last GM, he's like on TV and shit now, so he obviously loves talking about his opinion of things, which is, can you imagine being so high on yourself that you want to voice your opinion into a microphone? Could you imagine ever doing
After
that?
After you got fired and nobody wanted to hire you?
I was being sarcastic because we're on a podcast, but yes, either way, yes.
That being said, I mean, all jokes aside, the Bears offense next year, if Caleb Williams is the guy... And that is a huge if, given the franchise history. But, I mean, he doesn't even necessarily have to be good, because that offense, DeAndre right. Swift, I like Khalil Herbert, DJ Moore, now Keenan Allen. Their offensive line was improved. I'm still not going to say it was good, but it was improved last mm-hmm. year. Like, and they have a boatload of draft picks from that DJ Moore deal fleecing. Like... There's potential there that they could sneak up on some folks next year. I'm not going to say that they're going to compete. I think the NFC North, you know, is Detroit and Green Bay.
Yes.
To take the title. I think Chicago could sneak up and maybe finish like 500. This is extremely early to be talking record predictions, but I like the Chicago offense depending on how that quarterback plays next year.
They should have fired their coach. They should have moved on Agreed. From their coach yes. and started all over. I think their draft last year was pretty solid. Their trades have been good. Their signings, I don't think are great. Especially, like, you had two decent backs with Roshan and Khalil, and then you pay a guy like this. It's just, it's a bit of a heads. The thing, like, oh my God, sorry, again, I'm just, so many tangents. Like, I saw a tweet yesterday for the Vikings, again, back to their fans really liking what they're doing. They said, in 2025, the Vikings are set to have $150 million of cap space. They're like, yes, crazy masterclass. I'm like, you need to find good players, though. Just having cap space isn't good. It means you can go, find good
Maybe
players.
Maybe they can sign A.J. Dillon to fill some of that cap space.
Oh, God. I wish. But it's just like, you still need to find good players. Just having the potential is great. Like, so many people were, you know, just carrying the banner for Sashi Brown, the old Browns GM, and he got canned, and then they brought in the Packer guy. I forgot his name. And they were like... When the Browns had like that one playoff, that first playoff run, they're like
John Dorsey.
Yes, John Dorsey. But they're like, oh, it's John Dorsey's team now, but we have to give credit to Sashi Brown. They had one playoff run, and they were like, he traded away assets and created a cap room. What a great GM he was
and
to set up for
this other
GM. And a playoff
run where they made the playoffs once. Yes. They won a game.
Yes, it's like, personally, finding good players is better than cutting players, in my book. I think that's a more important thing to have, but I don't know.
Let's also acknowledge that the 2025 cap means nothing, because the Vikings also need to re-sign their all-world receiver in Justin yes. Jefferson, and if they botch this quarterback situation, they may drive him out of town.
And that's what I don't get either, because like, Hockenson isn't a bad player. But trading away...
He's very good. Top five tight end.
Yeah, he is good.
But did he tore his ACL last year, right? Is that what it was? Or was it a different knee injury? I think he tore his ACL.
It was an ACL.
But they traded away the second round pick and made him the highest paid tight end in the league. And then you lost out on Kirk, which could have been your bridge quarterback again. It's just, over the last 2 years, I don't know what the fuck the Vikings' plan has been. And I love that. So... Outside of that, I don't have...
I will say a little bit of credit to the Bears just on the way that they've adopted the blueprint that the Eagles had a few years ago with Jalen Hurts of putting as much veteran talent on the offense as you possibly can and then bring in your young guy. So it actually is not like the worst idea in the world. I don't know if it's going to work, but like, the Eagles did it, and Jalen Hurts, I think most people would agree, like, he isn't like... an amazing pure passer. Like, he's a great athlete. Nobody's saying he's not. But like, if you put him on a lot of different teams, I don't think he would be nearly as successful. He's not a guy that you could just throw on a team and be like, yeah, take it over. He needs people around him to make those plays, right? Like, he needs studs around him. He can dish the ball out, but I think that that's kind of the blueprint. To me, it seems that the Bears are riding.
Billy, do you have anything else? Looks like you're looking. Looks like you want to see something.
Hmm. I'm looking to see what T.J. Hockenson did. You're right. He did tear the ACL and MCL in his right knee on December 24th. All right, Spencer, you were right. That's the.
Thank you.
Well, it's not going to be the last time I doubt you, but I doubted you on this one.
Okay. Yeah. I know a lot of stuff about opposing teams. Apparently. With that, and I'm not holding that against TJ or anything. I just don't think it was a great move to trade a second and then pay him as much as he did. But with that, I don't have anything else. Do you guys have anything else? Nope. You know, let me throw this into review. Leave a review, a rating, or whatever on Apple or Spotify. I don't think I've said that the last couple of weeks, so please do that. You guys have anything else? I assume not.
If you go to get a new phone, leave a review on all the phones. It's easy. It takes like 5 minutes. I do it all the time.
I don't think we've had a new review in months. Billy, you have anything else?
Go Pack, go.
All right, with that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. I said, hey now, little baby, I'm gone deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a six pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes. You can take the job.
I gotta listen back to this.
How'd you forget it was Spencer's birthday when...
Hello.
We went to lunch together on his birthday.
See, I remembered we went to lunch, but I wasn't thinking.
And you were there, so it's like it could have been anyone's birthday.
I wasn't paying attention.
I mean, it's not like it was a celebration. You know, it's not like we're like, yay.
It was just
Spencer didn't even know why I was inviting
him
to lunch.
All the boys getting together for lunch.
There you go. Yeah, it texted me on like Sunday. It was like, hey, do you want to get lunch on Wednesday? And I was like, yeah, I can go to the office on Wednesday. And then Monday I was like, oh, it's my birthday.
I didn't know it was your birthday until you said something on Wednesday. It's like, oh,